The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is our blessed heavenly hope. And I would like to pick up the thread, and I would like to show us what this heavenly hope, the effect this hope can have in our lives. On the one hand, I would like to show us a life lived without heavenly hope as a bad example, as a warning. And on the other hand, a life lived in this heavenly hope. And for that purpose, I'd like us to turn to the Gospel of Mark first. It is said that the author Mark, he was influenced by the Apostle Peter in writing this very Gospel. So, as it seems, we can't get rid of the Apostle Peter, but I consider it to be a blessing for us. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. And we read from verse 17. And as he went forth into the way, a person ran up to him, and kneeling to him, asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" But Jesus said to him, "Why callest thou me good? No one is good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor thy father and mother." And he answering said to him, "Teacher, all these things have I kept from my youth." Jesus looking upon him, loved him. To him, "One thing lackest thou. Go sell whatever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me, taking up the cross." But he, set at the word, went away grieved. Large possessions. I would like to make a practical application for us, how we should approach the Lord. We find here a young man, and it is said, up to him. I would apply it in that way. When we approach the Lord Jesus and we want to communicate with him, it takes effort. It takes spiritual energy. It's not like turning on the CD player and listen to something. It requires spiritual energy. And not only that, and kneel to him. It required the appropriate attitude in regard to the person that we approach. Just by way of application. He asked, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" A young question on his heart coming to the Lord about this young man is that ask for the book. He didn't ask for any trivial things, any superficial things. In his heart, serious question, and I like that. And I'm convinced tonight there are young men, women, that are in their hearts about serious questions. Thing. And what we can learn here, a good address to turn to is the Lord Jesus. Especially for those, there might be something in the answer that the Lord Jesus gives to this young man that might shed some light on your personal questions. So let's continue. But Jesus said to him, "Why callest thou me good? No one is good but one, that is God." I don't want to get into the details of this verse, which might be a bit complicated. All together, for us to know this verse is two standards. And we should be aware of this. There's a standard of man and what he considers good, and there's a standard of God and what he considers good. And the two differentiate, there's a difference. And when according to my standard something is good, that doesn't mean at all that it is good according to God's standard. And in this here, as we'll later find out, that wasn't the case. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor thy father and mother. Brings here before this man certain commandments of the law of Moses. It's just a random choice of commandments. I would like to ask if we to find the answer for that. We don't have it here in Mark. We have to turn to the original source of the commandments, which is the book of Exodus. So I'd like us to go to Exodus 20. In Exodus 20, we're not going to read it now. We might do that at another time. We have the well-known commandments. And if you're going to read them one after the other, you will see that they readily into two divisions, two categories. The one category are commandments that regulate between man and God. This like vertical direction. This is one thing to know. And if we remember the commandments the Lord quoted, they are all commandments that regulate the behavior between man and his fellow man. That might be strange to us, because we would say most important is, of course, I want to test the reality of something. How does this man answer to God himself and not to his fellow man? But I would suggest that there's no incident that the Lord did this. This is by purpose. Because I suggest if we want to test the reality of something, we don't ask somebody, God, how do you worship the God that you've never seen? We ask, how do you relate to thy brother thou hast seen? Do you love him or do you hate him? This is as we find, for example, in John's writings. And another thing about the law, the Ten Commandments in particular, is that there are two commandments that give us the true purpose, the core of these two categories. The commandments regulating the behavior between man and his God, and the commandments regulating the behavior between man and his fellow man. And we can turn again to the Gospel of Mark to find the verses that help us to understand that. To the 12th chapter. Mark chapter 12. We start to read from verse 28. And one of the scribes who had come up and had heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, demanded of him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first commandment of all is, hear Israel, the Lord God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy understanding and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment, and the second like it is this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is not another commandment greater than these. And the scribes said to him, right teacher, thou hast spoken according to truth, for he is one, and there is none other besides him. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the intelligence, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, is more than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices. And Jesus, seeing that he had answered it intelligently, said to him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. So here in verse 30, commandment which summarizes all other commandments in the vertical direction, the Lord thy God with all thy heart. And we have this one which summarizes the other category of commandments, love thy neighbor. And to remember this, because we need it to understand what we find in Mark 10. So we can turn the page again to Mark 10. One thing I'd like to add is in regard to these two core commandments. If you don't fulfill them, you actually miss the mark, and you don't fulfill the other commandments according to the word of God. Because this is the of the commandments you shall not serve, and all the others. It is to love thy neighbor as thyself. And if you do not fulfill this in core, you don't fulfill the other commandments in this category according to God's standard. I just want you to keep that in mind. And he answered, said to him, all these things have I kept from my youth. Verse 20. And Jesus, looking upon him, loved him. So this young man claims he did obey the command from his youth. The Lord Jesus, which might be strange to some, loved him for that. What would that mean? I don't want to go into theological details of that, but what I put together for us tonight is that this man obeyed the quoted commandments according to man's standard. And God is not indifferent to that. He knows that. And he gives a blessing for that. But the blessing is an earthly blessing. It's a kind of beneficial thing, if I may put it that way. And I've found, until our very day, that wherever the principles of God are obeyed in a certain measure, God will not hesitate to give thing, but it's earthly blessing. It's not the real thing. And so I would it that way, that the Lord Jesus loved him in this way, because he obeyed the commandments according to the standards of man. It's not the real thing, but it's that we say it's nothing. It has its significance for this earth, but it doesn't go beyond. This exactly means we will see later. And then we carry on in verse 21. And Jesus said to him, one thing lackest thou, go sell whatever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me, taking up the cross. Now we come to the real thing, and this might explain much to us. First, I'd like to ask, why does the Lord make this particular request? Well, one simple answer is, he knows the hearts of all men, knows exactly what to ask. And we will see what he will question. The requirement we had to keep in mind was, love thy neighbor as thyself. The Lord Jesus quoted commandments which should lead to this result, that this young man would love his neighbor as thyself. So what we have to clarify now is, who is thy neighbor? Who is my neighbor? And some of you may remember this, there was a man in Scripture who had exactly this question, who is my neighbor? And we'll find this man in the Gospel of Luke. So let's go to Luke 10. We read from verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up, tempting him, and saying, Teacher, having done what, shall I inherit life eternal? So just in this first verse, we immediately realize the young man in Mark 10 wasn't the only one to ask this question, obviously. And he said to him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? But he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thine understanding, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said to him, Thou hast answered right, do and thou shalt live. But he desirous of justifying himself, says, And who is my neighbor? Just by way of repetition, I would like to pay to bring your attention to verse 27. What does this lawyer answer? Thou shalt love the Lord with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength. Isn't that this one rising the commandments in regard to the relationship between man and love thy neighbor as thyself? Other category? So we find it here again. And the Lord Jesus said, Thou hast answered. Now come to the question. I don't dwell on what the Lord Jesus said in detail now. I'd just like to give us, in a sentence, a summary that I see in it. My neighbor is a person that is in need, and I have the means to help him. That's my neighbor, according to what we find then in the answer of the Lord, as I understand it. So I say it again. My neighbor is a person in need, and I have the means to help him. So let's go again to Mark 10. We have before us here a rich young man. And even the children probably know what's a rich man? A man with a lot of money. So the means that he has available is money. And we also find poor people. What are poor? Poor people, they lack money. And the Lord together, he said, thou hast the means, you can see, you have the means, see the need, so meet that need. And what does it mean, in essence? To love thy neighbor as thyself. The neighbor, for this young man, were the poor, and he had the means, but he doesn't use the means for purpose. He obeyed the commandments, I repeat, according to man's standard. And what is that? What does it mean? I obey for my personal benefit, obey to get God's blessing, and such an obedience, it's not, there's nothing. There is a certain special element in it. An earthly one. But it doesn't work God's righteousness. Can be sure about that. This kind of obedience doesn't work God's righteousness. Only obedience according to God's standard does work God's righteousness. And what kind of obedience is that? It is not an obedience that I seek God's blessing. Well, you ask, what's the alternative? I obey God to seek the blessing of others. That is the alternative. And this is defined with this young man. He only obeyed God for his personal benefit. Well, how does the Lord know this? Or how do I know this? How can you know this? Well, he's a rich man. He kept everything for himself. Let me know. If he would have loved his neighbor as himself under his circumstances, things would have been different. So, what does it mean for us now, you might ask? I would suggest that we need to, the underlying principle that we find here, we should apply this to our personal lives. The rich man obeyed God for his personal benefit, for his own profit, to get God's blessing for himself, and that the real obedience is to obey God to bless others. I think we should ask ourselves, what was again the requirement? The requirement was bless thyself. We should learn something about love, because this is the verb in the requirement, to love. What is the essence of love? And if you want to find out that, we turn to first to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We will read many there, but after reading from verse 1 to 7, I would like us to concentrate on one verse. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith, so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And if I shall dole out all my goods in food, and if I deliver up my body that I may be burnt, but have not love, I profit nothing. Love has long patience, as long patience is kind. Love is not emulous of others. Love is not insolent and rash, is not puffed up, does not behave in unseemly manner, does not seek what is its own, is not quickly provoked, does not impute evil, does not rejoice at iniquity, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. The particular word I would like to direct our to, we find in verse 5. And I would like to read love sentence. Love does not seek what is its own. Not seek what is its own. And when we think of this young man in Mark 10, don't we have to say this young man lacked this kind of love? And we will see reaction later, the answer of the Lord Jesus, that this was the case. We took away from this young man and turn to us again. Why do I obey the word of God? Is it that you stand out in circles, but in your heart you seek your personal profit in whatever you do, in the profession you choose, in the partner for life, in the place you live, you choose, in the friends you choose? Get out of my skin. What can get me out of this? That I don't seek my own profit. And then we come back to that which we started. That is the heavenly hope. the coming of the Lord Jesus. So let's go again to Mark 10, verse 21, the middle. Sell whatever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me, taking up the cross. This is what I would call a heavenly perspective. The contents of our heavenly perspective we dwelt upon. It's the coming of the Lord Jesus. You might ask, how does it operate, and does it really to live with a heavenly perspective? What are the results in life? And I think the best thing we can do in such a case, if we have this question, we look for someone who lives in this life as a model for us. And model for a heavenly perspective we find in the book of Genesis. So let's go to Genesis. Genesis chapter 13. We start to read from verse 5. And Lot also went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land could not support them, that they might dwell together, for their property was great, and they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and Perizzite dwelling then in the land. And Abram said to Lot, I pray thee, let there be no contention between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If to the left, then I will take the right, and if to the right, then I will take the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of the Jordan, that it was thoroughly watered before Jehovah, and destroyed and Gomorrah. And it was thoroughly watered before Jehovah had destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, as the garden of Jehovah, like the land of Egypt, as one goes to Zoar. And Lot chose for himself all the plain of the Jordan. And Lot went toward the east, and they separated the one from the other. Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, in tents as far as Sodom. And the people of Sodom were wicked and great sinners before Jehovah. Actually, we find here a positive example to emulate and a negative one, exactly in the question of having a heavenly hope or not having a heavenly hope. And what I would like to point out in the behavior of Abraham in this case, when there was a strife among them, and when he, the elder man, and not just the elder man, he was the more spiritual man. He was the man that got the calling from God. So in a way, he was in a position above his nephew Lot. But he said he gave way to Lot. So in essence, do we find here, I would say, the heavenly hope operates of meekness, of gentleness, giving way to us and claiming not its rights, as we mentioned, if I remember correctly, this morning prayer, claiming not our rights. And we had words that summarize something. If I made a summarizing of these characteristics, I would say this is humbleness we find in Abraham. And the very opposite in Lot. Why? Because he was after the earthly blessing There we find that again. That this might have shown at least a bit that is, it's not just a phrase that we have hope and that somehow we expect the Lord, but it is essential that we obey God's word, not a man's standard, which will give us, in fact, earthly blessing. It will give us a certain benefit in this world, no doubt. It is not the real thing, which does not work out God's righteousness in this world. And in the end, got to the judgment seat of Christ, which is of no value.